redeems and sustains all things.
Amen.
This particular story is a little bit of a tough one for us. We're always sort of trying to figure out where we belong in the story. Are we the rich man? Hello. Oh, it fell off. That's the problem. Trying to think who helped me put this on this morning. She's over there. Hang on a second. Otherwise, it could be really annoying through the entire sermon. Stand by. It's a wardrobe malfunction. All right, is that better? Awesome. Now I can walk around for the first time in 2 years. It's a hard story. And it's a hard story because we're always trying to figure out exactly where we fit. Are we Lazarus? Are we the rich man? Are we somewhere in between? The other problem with the story is that it elicits in us a range of emotions, depending on how you interact with this particular story. Some of us, when we hear this story, feel guilt. I do. I think of the number of times I have ignored poor people in the streets of Honolulu. I think of the number of times I've walked down stairways and had to literally step over someone who was sleeping in that place. And this story always comes back. Some of us feel guilt about how we have interacted with the poor people of our world. Some of us feel guilt because actually, even if you're not wealthy, by American standards, by world standards, we are incredibly, incredibly wealthy. Even the poorest student among us, by world standards, is really quite wealthy. So for some of us, it elicits guilt. For others of us, it elicits anxiety. If you take the story literally, then none of us are headed for the bosom of Abraham. Right? If you take the story just on its face, if you see it as a kind of description of reality, then none of us are going to be hanging out with Abraham. We're going to be across the wide chasm for which there is no bridge, begging, please, please send Lazarus to just dip the end of his finger in water that I might have some relief. It's a moralistic sort of way of looking at this text. An absolutist way of looking at this text. And I'm not sure it's exactly what Luke intends. If you look at the sweep of Luke in this particular section of the scripture, what you find is this series of stories that is leading us to understand our role in the world and how important it is that we understand ourselves as part of God's greater creation. And that somehow we are connected with this God who chooses to come down to us. The hint to this comes at the end of the text that we almost always ignore. You remember the rich man is pleading now at the end of the story. Look, if you can't help me, at least send Lazarus, because after all, he is a second-class citizen. It really should be sent as a messenger as opposed to someone else. Send him to my five brothers to to warn them. To warn them so that they may not experience the same kind of torture that I'm experiencing. And do you remember what the reply is? Look, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, and here's the line we always miss, they're not going to believe someone just because they came back from the dead. You should have a little bell going off in your head. I've been preaching this for years, and it didn't go off until this year, so that's like 30-some years. If they don't believe the prophets and Moses, they're not going to believe someone who was raised from the dead. Can you think of anyone that might have been recently raised from the dead? It's so important. If you won't believe the words that you've already heard from Moses, about loving your neighbor, about taking care of those who are poor, if you're not paying any attention to the Levitical code that requires us to treat the stranger as a family member, that calls us again and again and again to share our wealth and our power and our hope and our God, if you're going to not listen to them, why would we expect you to listen to Jesus, who was raised from the dead? And the second lesson, it kind of ends with taking hold of life that really is life. For his whole time on earth, the rich man was convinced that he had it all. Everything he ever wanted. But he never saw Lazarus. Cared about him, or even gave him a second thought or a third thought. He lived a And in the same way for Lazarus, who sits there at the fence at the gate of the man who has everything, hoping just for the crumbs from his table. We don't know what he was thinking, but I imagine myself in that place and I would think, this life sucks. This is terrible. This is all there is? In the pursuit of making a living, of assuring our future, we sometimes have blinders that keep us from the fullness that is being laid out around us by the one who was risen from the dead. I think what Luke is telling us, in a way, is that you already have all the information you need for an abundant life. You have all the words of the prophets, you have the words of Moses, you have the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the small catechism. I mean, if you're so inclined. And if you're not, there's the large catechism. And if you've missed that, there's the commentary on the large catechism. You have all the information that you need to understand God's deep love for you that frees you to give yourself away. Because that's the life that really is life. It's not holding on to everything that you have or that you dream about or that you want, whether it's stuff or security or religion. It's not that. It's unclenching ourselves enough to enter into the life of our neighbor. To love and to be loved in the kind of way of the one who died and was raised from the dead. Who did not see in sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors folks to be ignored or avoided, but who embraced the fullness and wideness of God's creative love. The story is not just a moral tale meant to drive you to be a little bit better and give a little bit more and maybe say good morning to the occasional homeless person. I think it's a radical call to embrace life in its fullness, to give love lavishly, and to pour ourselves out for the sake of the world in the way of the risen one. Lazarus and the rich man, beloved of God, as are you. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. And it is number 719 in the ELW, Rise As You Are Able.